I want to thank you because you have been so incredible in this issue. And I want to thank you. I know it's not appropriate to thank you. You're a great journalist and you're a great reporter. I don't care what they pay you. They made a good deal.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
They got a steal with what they're paying me, Mr. President. Believe me. A steal! It's like they're stealing money every day. Come to you from our remote Carter Subaru studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Oh, I'm getting a lot of comments about the Nassau County executive, the audio we played right before the top of the hour. And, you know, my point was, first of all, is there really data that supports if you play Tim? This is so it's so ridiculous. She couldn't even say what they were mandating she say. The rules, if you want to go play tennis. She couldn't even say it without the people around her laughing at how insane it is. But seriously, is there data that shows that we are safer from COVID-19 if you're playing tennis? And by the way, singles is allowed there. Doubles is not, because you might get too close to your doubles partner. But is there data that says if each player playing singles has their own set of balls and they write their name on it and the other person doesn't touch their tennis balls, are we safer from COVID-19? Does any of this make sense to actual thinking people, the rules that are out there? They opened the boat launch at Shilshol today, but the average tax-paying citizen can't use it. The tribes can, commercial can, but people who just want to get out on the water cannot. Does that make us safer from COVID-19? It's almost like these ridiculous rules that they are just not just enjoying the control they have over our life, but they're trying to see just how much they can get away with before people say enough. But it's happening so incrementally. We are the frogs in the pot that is slowly coming to boil. But I got to play it one more time. This is the Dow Constantine of a huge county, Nassau County, explaining the tennis rules. And again, how can anybody, even the people around her, as I said, they're laughing because what government is trying to impose on us is so insane.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X or put someone's initials on them.
Is this real life? Is this actually the America we live in today? And are you cool with this? Because I'm not. I will make all the necessary adjustments. I'll wear a mask when I go to the grocery store, even if government doesn't tell me to. I'll work from home for years beyond when government tells me it's a good idea. I'll make all these adjustments without government mandate. I don't need government to tell me what tennis balls I can touch. I don't need that. Do you? Because this is the life we're living right now, where they are not only enjoying this level of control, but they are seeing just how much we're going to let them get away with, How many rights, how many constitutional rights are we going to let them get away with? I mean, down in Oregon, they tried to flip the governor's orders because she didn't get the legislature involved. In Wisconsin, they overturned the state Supreme Court, overturned the governor's stay-at-home orders. I'm fine with stay-at-home. I'm just not fine with giving up rights. Because that's a scary time. And I know what tennis balls to touch, and I know which tennis balls to kick. I don't need government for any of that stuff. All right, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to our big lead.
The big lead, top story.
Okay, you know that this has been a devastating time for the unemployed, for the business owners who have put their life's energy into their enterprise. Our economy is not just teetering on the brink. We're looking at Great Depression of 1930s. We are looking at the worst economy in our lifetime, and we're just on the leading edge. I don't know if people realize just how bad it's going to get. Some business owners have said enough is enough, and they are reopening in defiance of Governor Inslee's orders. One of those businesses is Power Alley Fitness, PA Fitness in Arlington. They reopened last weekend in defiance of Jay Inslee. The owner is, one of the co-owners is Mike Jellison. He joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Mike, good to talk to you this afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Fantastic. Okay, so you had been had the doors shut for ever since the stay-at-home order was first issued, I assume, correct?
Correct, yeah, 16th of March.
Okay, no revenues coming in at all when you have a business like yours, also correct?
Correct, yes.
And yet you still have expenses. Tell me about the expenses. Oh. How bad is this for business owners like you?
Well, I've got two businesses right now. I've got one, Advanced Pro Fitness, that is a fitness repair business that I have to, I have an overhead. We're non-essential as well, which blows me away because if inside of anywhere that does fitness, there's nobody there right now. And we tried to get to the, through the governor's portal to get essential, but obviously didn't understand that we can't infect anybody if anybody's not there. So we got denied. So anyways, that one right there is about, you know, it's about $15,000 to $18,000 a month overhead on just the building sitting there. And then we've got the fitness facility up here, Power Alley Fitness, which is another 20 with, you know, the other expenses of cable and power and all that kind of good stuff. So, you know, we're dishing out probably 50 grand a month. I mean, I am.
Wow. Wow. So, I mean, if this continued on an annualized basis, we're talking about $600,000 in expenses a year with no revenues coming back. Now, hopefully this will not last for a year, but you said finally last weekend enough is enough and you decided to reopen the doors?
Correct.
Okay, how was that received? Because, you know, I've talked to Bob the Barber in Snohomish, who has a lot of supporters. He also has a lot of people who are furious at him and say that he is going to help spread coronavirus and that he is a dangerous health menace. So, I mean, I've heard the entire spectrum, Mike. So what's the response to you opening your gym back up?
The response has been great over the last 9 days. We've had approximately 4,500 people in here. We were doing temperature checks. Everybody in that came in, and it was a infrared gauge. It was hospital grade. We had four of them. They were all the same. Everybody that came in was 99 or below. We didn't have any over temps. Everybody had their own spray bottle. We had a maximum capacity of 60 people. Everything was 6 feet apart. We followed CDC guidelines. So this was something that was well thought out before the reopening. We just didn't go out with reckless abandonment. You know, it was something that I took 6 or 7 weeks to think about.
Yeah. Well, and I saw pictures inside the gym. Looks like you have the yellow caution tape on every other of your cardio machines, so people aren't standing right next to each other while working out. I guess the thing that blows my mind, well, there are a lot of things that blow my mind about all of this, Mike, but the young and the healthy, if they get coronavirus, it's not much worse than just a mild flu. And we want people to be healthy. We want people to be working out. This attacks, this virus attacks the respiratory system. So we want people to get their cardio back to where it should be. And yet we have the government saying, no, you can't do that. And it's just, it's amazing to me. And I'm sure you're wrestling with the exact same sorts of emotions.
Well, the idea is you got, you know, 99.94% of the people in Washington state that aren't going to be affected. You got 0.04% that are going to be affected. The logical person says, or 0.06, excuse me.
Yeah.
I got to be accurate on that. The logical person says, why don't we just contain the 0.06 and not stranglehold everybody in their place? I mean, this is a virus that's been shown to infiltrate old folks' homes and for the most part, and then people that are elderly. Well, geez, stay home, put a mask on. You know, I mean, take care of yourself, really. We don't want anybody to die over a flu virus. But it happened. Every year, people die of flu viruses, and there's no way of stopping that. If you stranglehold your immune system, then you will surely die too. And that's a tragedy with what the scare tactics of our mayor and our government have done to people. Yeah. Because now when it comes around to flu season again, these guys are going to take their masks off. Guess what? There's going to be injuries and there's going to be havoc because the people that decided not to wear masks are going to be okay because their immune system is going to be able to fight this off. And the people that didn't are going to have a little bit tougher time.
Well, what's amazing is we have some real life examples now of better ways to handle this. And Florida is a perfect example where their governor DeSantis, he did what you just advocated. He focused on the nursing homes, the long-term care. They have, of course, a very high percentage of elderly people in Florida. But he focused on that. And they have had a remarkable success rate, but the media just hammered him. And they said, you're going to kill people by reopening our state so early. And it turns out it's working. And the media here is just fully supportive of Jay Inslee and saying he's doing the right thing and he's saving lives. And it's like nobody's paying any attention to actual real life facts and data that do not support what Governor Inslee is doing.
Every day I wake up and it's like Groundhog Day again. I look at people that are just not understanding. It's like you got Jay Inslee as Jim Jones walking around feeding people Kool-Aid. They're drinking and they're just getting ready to die. I mean, they don't understand that he's slowly taking away all your rights. And he'll take what you'll give him because he's a bully. He doesn't care about people. He never has.
Well,
it's the same thing with Ferguson.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that bullying. So you've been open for a few days, and you just got...
we were actually open for 10.
Okay, 10 days. So you just got a mountain of legal documents from the state, from Bob Ferguson, under Jay Inslee's close watch. They're going to sue you, and they want to fine you $2,000 if you don't close the doors. So I understand that last night you made the decision you're going to close again?
Right, and the reason why is it's not $2,000. It's $2,000 for every person that steps foot into this gym. So on a round note, that would be $1 million a day.
Seriously? You got,
yes.
What was that, 500 people a day?
500 to 1,000. So I'm talking about maybe at least a million. I mean, it's going to be up there. We're going to be screwed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, yeah. So they're threatening you with $1 million. I mean, just saying it out loud, it is so preposterous. So they're threatening you with $1 million per day fine if you keep the doors open. You've said you think this is your constitutional right, that they are not following the Constitution. Just in talking with you for a few minutes, I hear the passion and the conviction in your voice. What is it like for you to be bullied into closing your doors by Jay Inslee and Bob Ferguson?
Well, you know what? I mean, he can close the business down for now, but he can't close down the passion. He can't close down the community. We're still talking. We're still speaking. I've got lawsuits that are going on. This whole thing has been kind of a, interesting, eye-opening situation for me. I've never been this type of guy, but unfortunately, somebody has to stand up and fight for the people that don't want to fight or can't fight. So, you know, I've brought on some attorneys, and I mean, here's the thing about the governor. He can sit there and, you know, dodge the bullets as far as the lawsuits for as long as he wants, but pretty soon one's going to nail him, and then he's going to be done.
Well,
and that's what's happening right now. I mean, there's hundreds of lawsuits on this guy.
But the other argument, just real quick, because we only have a couple moments left here, but sure. The other argument is, yeah, but if Mike stays open with PA Fitness, then he has a competitive advantage over his gym competition that's following the rules. And how fair is that?
Yeah, well, I kind of had a conversation with a lot of the gym owners around here beforehand, before this even started, and they said, you know what, we're not going to open. We know it's not a law. We know it's an order, but we're not going to open because I don't want to get my business license pulled. So I just said, well, you know what, I'll take the bullet, you know, so I'll do it, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, it's not like it's an unfair advantage, because all these people that are coming in here, we're only giving them a certain amount of time to be in here, and then they have to be gone. As far as days, we weren't giving them full-on memberships, because that wasn't the point. The point was we were reaching out on our constitutional rights at the time, and this time, and our ploy is our Fourth Amendment, because you can't seize somebody's business and make it dead, and that's exactly what the government did.
Well, like I said, I know that most in the media are just being a megaphone for the governor. I don't understand why, because they're destroying the economy. I'm sick and tired of people in the media who have jobs, and they're telling people who are unemployed how selfish they are. So I will continue to stand and fight for people like you, Mike. And I'm sorry for what you and the entire business community is going through.
Well, you know what? I mean, if you believe in what you're doing, then you got to continue fighting. And just try to do something for the community. If this isn't for me, this is for you, Maury. This is for everybody else that's out there. My whole community. I love all these guys, and I've got to stand strong and make sure that there's a voice to be heard from us.
Yep, there you go. All right. Well, stay in touch, Mike. Let me know how things progress, okay?
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate your time.
All right. Mike Jellison, PA Fitness in Arlington, up next in the big lead. Actually, you know what? Let me save it, because I don't want to shortchange this next topic. I just got some great, great audio in from the governor of Florida, but I don't want to shortchange. By the way, Maury, Dory, it's all the same. It's a tough name, I know. Let me save this great audio that we are just getting in, and I'll do that right after we check the news for you. So that is our big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Okay, you got to hear this. This is some pretty awesome stuff from a governor who's actually doing things right. We got to go as far away from Washington as we can get, Florida. But I'll play that for you right after the news. The Dory Monson Show continues. Dory Monson Show rolls on in a few minutes. We will bring you our awesome audio of the day. So our daddy has extended the stay at home. He says maybe we can get to the next phase by June 1st, but checking the numbers that he's using, I don't see that happening. I think he's stringing us out and along. We have a real-life example of states that are doing it differently from Washington. Florida. It was predicted that Florida was going to be the next New York, where they were going to have tens of thousands of deaths because their governor, Ron DeSantis, he opened up their economy several weeks ago. And everyone predicted just absolute apocalyptic death tolls down in Florida. And that hasn't happened. So why is that? Well, Governor DeSantis, he said, let's focus on the areas where the risk is the greatest. And that is the senior living, the long-term care facilities. They have a lot of retirement communities down in Florida. And he said, let's do everything we can to make the people in those living situations as safe as possible from coronavirus. But the rest of the state, you know, let's keep wearing masks and let's work from home if you can. But let's get the state back to work. And the media was predicting just the death totals were going to soar. And there's a great piece today at National Review that talks about how what Florida has done should be a model for the rest of the nation, because they got the economy up and running. They have many fewer deaths. I was talking with Brock about this last hour. The four most populous states in the nation, California, Texas, Florida, and New York. In California and New York, both Democrat run, their death tolls are much, much, much higher than Texas and Florida, where they reopened the economies weeks and weeks ago. Not only that, but Texas and Florida both have balanced budgets. New York and California are tens of billions of dollars in deficit with their state budgets. But most importantly, it's the death totals. Florida and Texas combined have fewer deaths than California, which has a much, much higher population. Fewer deaths combined because the governor said, let's focus on the highest risk areas. In New York, Andrew Cuomo, who somehow has gotten praised by the local and national media, said, oh, let's replace Biden with Cuomo. He ordered sick people back into nursing homes. Undoubtedly, without question, Andrew Cuomo's decisions cost thousands and thousands of people their lives. And then you have Data Daddy here in Washington. We have 1,000 deaths according to the State Department of Health. But as we told you yesterday, the day before, the Freedom Foundation did a great analysis and found that Jay Inslee is cooking the books on our death totals by 13%. And the way he's doing it, if you didn't hear our show, any person who has tested positive for coronavirus and then subsequently dies, that is being counted by the State Department of Health as a COVID-19 death. So if someone tested positive in March, has completely recovered, and then dies in a car accident in May, the state of Washington is counting that as a coronavirus death. And so Jay Inslee has cooked the books, adding 13%, because he has to get the death toll up as high as possible to get as much control over us as possible. And then you look at the fact that about 85% of the deaths are people 75 years old and older. Well, in Florida, they figured out how to protect the most vulnerable in that age category. If you back out the deaths, and this isn't, I always feel like I have to give the disclaimer, and I shouldn't have to anymore, because every life is significant. But if you back out the 75 and older deaths in Washington state, about 100 people have died from coronavirus. About 100. Now, is that worth shutting down? Because you have 100 people who, you know, you have many more than that who die from the flu every single year. Is that worth destroying our economy? 1 million people unemployed. They have to cook the books. And down in Florida, I just got this audio in. Let me play for you first. Because when DeSantis, weeks and weeks ago, said we're opening up the state, but we're going to laser focus on the most vulnerable to protect from coronavirus. And Brian Williams had a round table on MSNBC talking about how deaths were going to skyrocket and how DeSantis is going to have to own all of these deaths.
Can DeSantis of Florida keep saying I was waiting for the feds to give the order, keep ignoring what's been going on in the other states with other governors? Or is he going to be forced to own whatever the consequences are in the Sunshine State?
Well, if that was your prediction, Brian, are you also giving him just massive credit now
for the best plan in the nation. Death numbers that are lower than any other state of a similar population. About the merits of just focusing on the most vulnerable. I got a text message. Let me pull this up from the 206. Dory, if you really believe the virus is a non-issue, then you need to do a live remote at a COVID facility to prove that you actually believe the propaganda. I don't know anybody who has said this isn't a real thing. I don't know one person who says it's a non-issue. What I've said is that there are far better ways to handle it than Jay Inslee that wouldn't destroy our economy for years and years to come. We're going to have over 20% unemployment. We're going to have the highest unemployment since the Great Depression of the 1930s. For something that this never should have happened to our economy. Anyway, let me play for you. Just got this in. The governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis. And I don't blame him for being feisty because the media was just ruthless on him when he opened up the state. And he talks about that as now they have really triumphant numbers and the media just hates being wrong. And so he gave it back to him just a moment ago.
Our data is available. Our data is transparent. In fact, Dr. Birx has talked multiple times about how Florida has the absolute best data. So any insinuation otherwise is just typical partisan narrative trying to be spun.
And what he's talking about is the media is suggesting that he's cooked the books. We know that Jay Inslee has in Washington. But that's because the media would rather lie about the success of Florida than admit they were wrong, because the media is in the control of the left that wants our economy destroyed so they can rebuild it in their socialist image and all of that. So on
part of the reason is that because you got a lot of people in your profession who waxed poetically for weeks and weeks about how Florida was going to be just like New York. Wait 2 weeks. Florida's going to be next. Just like Italy, wait 2 weeks. Well, hell, we're 8 weeks away from that, and it hasn't happened. Not only do we have a lower death rate, well, we have way lower deaths generally. We have a lower death rate than the Acela Corridor, D.C., everyone up there. We have a lower death rate than the Midwest, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, Ohio. But even in our region, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida has the lower death rate. And I was the number one landing spot from tens of thousands of people leaving the number one hot zone in the world to come to my state. So we've succeeded, and I think that people just don't want to recognize it because it challenges their narrative, it challenges their assumption, so they got to try to find a boogeyman. Maybe it's that there are black helicopters circling the Department of Health. If you believe that, I got a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you.
Last question.
So you got Jay Inslee and most of the media. They are just locked in to this, we must destroy the economy because it disrespects the dead if we don't. And here you have proof that there's another way where you protect the most vulnerable. You have the people who can work at home, continue to work at home. You wear masks when you go to a store, but you open up your economy. We have proof of that. And the media is not apologizing that we're ripping him for the last 8 weeks now that their fake news storyline never materialized. And that's why I'm up here trying to share some facts, some actual data, because what's happening to the unemployed and the business owners in this state is absolutely unnecessary. And Jay Inslee should start acknowledging that. And we have to put pressure on him. And very few others in the media will. So that's where I need you, my listeners, because we have to start spreading some truth and actual data to the data daddy. Okay, quick timeout, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Is this me, Sean? Am I back?
You're back, Dory.
I thought we were doing a coronavirus update or something. I'm ready to be back. In fact, this would be a good time. Oh, wait a second. And down the stretch we come. This would be a good time for us to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Day.
So yesterday, Nancy Pelosi said she didn't think President Trump should take hydro because she said he's old and clinically obese. And Trump wasn't happy about that.
These people are sick. Pelosi is a sick woman. She's got a lot of problems, a lot of mental problems. We're dealing with people that have to get their act together for the good of the country.
Okay, well, now Nancy Pelosi, who it's just odd for her to comment on other people's appearance with that snare drum face of hers. But anyway, Nancy Pelosi, she went on MSNBC today, and at number three, she told Nicole Wallace that she didn't know Trump was going to be so defensive about his weight.
Number three.
Madam Speaker, what you said is actually something that can be corroborated in the White House's release of the president's last physical, which is that his weight does qualify him as being morbidly obese. Is that what you were saying, or did you know it would elicit this kind of reaction from the president?
No, I had no idea. I didn't know that he would be so sensitive. He's always talking about other people's avoir dire, their weight, their pounds.
This is who's running our country right now. This is wonderful for us. At number two, I played it earlier this hour, but it's so good. In Nassau County, back in New York, the county exec, the Dow Constantine of Nassau County, telling people the regulations if they want to go out and play tennis.
Number two.
Every player, unless they're from the same household, has to bring their own tennis balls, so that you don't touch other people's tennis balls with your hands. You can kick their balls, but you can't touch them. I'm going to blush, sorry. Of course, if you're playing with someone in your household, you can touch those tennis balls. To avoid confusion between whose balls are whose, you can use a marker, like a Sharpie, to mark out, to put an X or put someone's initials on them.
Got it? You can kick them, but you can't touch them. And at number one, a FedEx driver, his name's Mikhail, really cool guy. A little kid chased him down and wanted him to deliver something for the little six-year-old Cooper. And here's Mikhail telling the story.
Number one.
So I'm doing my delivery route today, and I see this little kid chasing my truck. He's trying to flag me down. He's like, excuse me, excuse me. So I pull over. I'm like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, can you mail something for me? I was like, yeah, sure. And he runs in his house. He comes back out, and he goes, hey, sir, do you know the pro skater Tony Hawk? I was like, yeah, I know who he is. He goes, can you mail this to him? And this is what it was. He says, get this to Tony Hawk for me. Tell him it's from Cooper. And I just thought it was adorable. His mom comes outside and kind of winks and was like, yeah, make sure you get it to Tony Hawk. Obviously, I can't mail it to Tony Hawk. I don't know Tony Hawk's address. But the least I could do was put it out there in the universe. So, Tony, if you see this, Cooper in Suwanee, Georgia is a big fan. Maybe you can give him a shout out, and the next time I drive by his house, I'll show him the video, and it'll probably make his whole life.
Well, you know how the internet works. Tony Hawk's
hot. Hey, Cooper, what's up? It's Tony Hawk, and I just want to say thank you so much for the skateboard. It's on its way to my house already, and as a thank you gift, I'm going to send you my skateboard, this one right here that I'm riding. All right? Thanks, buddy. I hope to meet you sometime.
That's pretty cool. It's our awesome audio of the day. That's it for us. Tom and Coley coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. We'll see you tomorrow. High noon. Take care.
Now, good day, sir.
I say good day. Now, good day.
Good day.
Good day.
I said good day.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.